In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
Almighty God, merciful Father.
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame.
I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations.
Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones.
Heavenly Father, you revealed to the Apostle Peter the blessed truth that your Son Jesus is the Christ. Strengthen us by the proclamation of this truth, that we too may joyfully confess that there is salvation in no one else. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
First reading for the festival of the Confession of St. Peter is from Acts chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord.
We also believe, and so we also speak, as one who speaks oracles of God.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Whoever would save his life will lose it.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th and 9th chapters. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. St. Peter knew who Jesus was. He boldly confessed the truth about him. You are the Christ. And as St. Matthew tells us in his account, he adds, the Son of the living God. St. Peter confesses the truth about Jesus, but he doesn't understand what it means yet. He doesn't understand what being the Christ entails. He had that all wrong. And so when Jesus began telling St. Peter and the rest of the disciples what his being the Christ meant, that he would suffer and be killed and rise again after 3 days, St. Peter tried to rebuke him. St. Peter and the rest of the fellows had different plans for the Christ. They saw him leading his people and conquering their earthly enemies, and establishing an earthly kingdom to rule over all others. They saw a mighty Messiah exercising his authority on earth. All this talk of a suffering and dying Messiah didn't resonate with them. They were setting their minds on the things of men rather than on the things of God. They had the scriptures. The scriptures which testified of the Messiah, the Christ. They had the promise of the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head by having his heel bruised. They had the account of the sacrifice being provided in place of Isaac on Mount Moriah. They had the Psalms and the prophets, which prophesy about the Christ being killed and rising again time and time again, sometimes in vivid detail, like in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. It is not as though God had kept his plan to save them a secret, or how he would carry that saving plan out. It's that they didn't know how to interpret the scriptures. They didn't know what the scriptures meant. They had their minds set on the things of men, rather than on the things of God. And to this day, Holy Scripture remains a closed book to those who have their minds set on the things of man rather than on the things of God. The question, who do you say Jesus is answered in a plethora of ways today, even though we have the full account of who he is revealed for us in Scripture. Jesus becomes a spiritual guru on par with other spiritual gurus throughout history, but nothing more to many. He is a good moral man who provides a good example to follow to many others. He is a social liberator whose message is to live however you please and not let anyone bring you down, to free the captives from the tyranny of rules and laws or commandments of God, to find contentment and happiness in whatever you want yourself to be, and to live however you want to live. I always refer to that Jesus as the hippie Jesus, the Jesus who just wants you to be you, man. He's a life coach or cheerleader, rooting you on as you walk through life, or maybe even carrying you on a beach, except for those times when you have to walk beside him for some reason. He is a spiritual ideal, or even invisible man in the sky to many others. The list goes on and on. Jesus is whatever many people imagine him to be, or whatever many wish him to be, so that they can live life on their own terms. If you're online, on Facebook or in other social media, you see people using scripture to tell you who Jesus is all the time. And yet, they haven't the single first clue. All of these are false caricatures of the Jesus of people's imaginations, due to them having their minds set on the things of men rather than on the things of God. They do not know the Christ because they really do not know the Scriptures. But all of that is what others say about Jesus. Who do you say that he is? That's the relevant question. It always is. And how often are we guilty of setting our minds on the things of man rather than on the things of God? It's easy for us to do. We are mired down in the muck of this sinful world, and it is difficult to see through it all and set our minds on the things of God. We often fail. Daily and much, we fail. We fall prey to the worries and the vices and the pleasures and the trappings and the temptations that befall us in this world. We don't always make the good confession. And sometimes we even want to make Jesus into our own image, like so many do as well. Jesus has every right to look us square in the eye often and say to us, "Get behind me, Satan. Why are you so worried about all this stuff that is going to pass away? Why are you so enamored with the things that moths and rust can destroy? Why do you let your hearts and feelings and emotions be so dictated by things that in the end don't matter? Why are you following the world's ways and trying to reimagine me the way the world wants to imagine me? Repent. Turn to me," says the Christ, "for I am the Christ." St. Peter is right. "I am the Son of the living God, and I will give you the things of God." The things of God, dear friends, include having God incarnate, spit upon and mocked and rejected and beaten and scourged and nailed to a tree to die. It can be no other way. Sin must be punished. A sacrifice must be made. The idea in our culture today, when sin is not even mentioned or even thought to be anything other than what you think might be wrong, is not the way God thinks. Sin is sin, and no sin can go unpunished. All sin must receive its due punishment. The cross must be borne for me and for you and for all sinners. Otherwise, there is no salvation. It matters not what kind of Jesus you want or imagine. If he is not the Jesus who dies on the cross for you, he is meaningless. There is nothing good about that Jesus. For there is no forgiveness without that Jesus. There is no escaping the grip of death and an eternity in hell without that Jesus. There is no eternal life in paradise without that Jesus. It is necessary. It is of divine necessity that the Christ suffer and die and rise again on the third day. That is the only way. And this is exactly who Jesus is, our Savior, our substitute, the Word made flesh to live and die for us, so that we might die to ourselves and live in him. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? If the Christ had set his mind on earthly things and conquered the whole world, and established an earthly kingdom to rule over all other kingdoms, what good would that have done sinners? None. They would have been left in their sins and would have had to spend an eternity in hell paying the price for them. Which is exactly what Satan wants, by the way, One of the temptations Satan puts before Jesus in the wilderness is to give him all the kingdoms of the world with all their glory if he will fall down and worship him. That is, if he won't be the Christ who goes to Calvary and dies to atone for the sins of the world. But Jesus did not set his mind on the things of man, but rather on the things of God. He came to accomplish our salvation and to do that in the only way possible, to take on our flesh and live in it a perfect life in our place, and to die on the cross for our sins. And so he did. He defeated sin, death, and the devil so that he could deliver the things of God to sinful men. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's the only Jesus of the Scriptures. The Jesus you hear about so often today, even among many Christians, is not the Jesus of Scripture. The Jesus of Scripture is the Jesus who dies for you. St. Peter would come to understand all of this, so would the rest of the disciples, except Judas. It would all click for them when the crucified Lord appeared to them in his resurrected flesh and opened the Scriptures to them. They then would understand that he had accomplished everything promised of old and that he is the true Messiah and Savior foretold on every page of the Holy Bible. Jesus is found in every Scripture, in every book, in every chapter, in every verse of the Old Testament. The whole point is Jesus. And so these now emboldened disciples, St. Peter and the boys, who witnessed the crucified Lord in the resurrected flesh, would go out from there and preach Christ the crucified and risen with great boldness and steadfast conviction all the way until they lost their lives for doing so. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus is your Savior. That's who he is. He's not your co-pilot or buddy or invisible friend. He is your Savior. He is the Word made flesh who continues to tabernacle among you. Here in his holy house, does your Lord Jesus deliver the things of God to you? Forgiveness, life, and salvation to bolster you up as you move through the wilderness of this dead and dying world. For the things of God are the crucifixion and resurrection of the Christ for sinners like you. And here he delivers these things to you as he feeds you upon his word and upon his very body and blood in the Eucharist. Here, Satan is behind him and you. And you have rest and comfort and peace and strength. And all this because the real Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture, never allowed his mind to be set on anything else but on the things of God. And now, the good news, the awesome, glorious good news, is that his mind is set on you. For you are a thing of God, a beloved child, adopted into the divine family, partakers, as St. Peter says, of the very divine nature. You have an eternal inheritance awaiting you. Thus, do you confess about Jesus? By the gift of faith given to you by the Holy Spirit, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And not only do you confess this, but you know what it means, that he lived and died for you, and that no matter what you suffer in this world where the things of man rule the day, you will live forever in his kingdom, which has no end. Come then, beloved, and take up your cross and follow him, for he leads you here to the holy altar, which is Mount Moriah, Zion, Calvary. Here is the ram caught in the thickets to take your place on the altar of sacrifice. Here is the manna from heaven to nourish and sustain you. Here is the Son of the living God providing you life-giving and life-sustaining food in this valley of the shadow of death. On the mount of the Lord it will be provided. And so it is. Eat and drink and live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray.
Father in heaven, at Cana, your Son showed his divinity in turning water into wine. Through his gift, you have shown your favor and blessing on those entering the estate of holy matrimony. As you bless this sacred institution, also protect it from all evil forces that seek to put asunder what you have established for our good. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father, in your mercy, protect all life, whether young or old. prohibit the use of abortion and euthanasia to end lives you have created in your image. Provide good, right, and salutary means to protect and save the life of the unborn and to bring comfort and dignity to the aging. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, you are the great physician of both body and soul. If it be your will, grant your healing to all who are in need of your help, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Joan Birch, Bill Harmon, Marlene Wiltshire, Ella Shaw, Marlene Miller, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCullum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cole, Tyler Duvall, Phil Warsaw, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Shaw, Pastor Dan Chambers, Rosemary Reichart, Sally Messer, Michelle Johnson, Matt Bachman, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snell, David Gursky, Jack Standen, Jane Tennant, Maxine Isaacson, Betty Guder, and John Lemmerman. If it be your will that their affliction remains, grant them grace to accept it, knowing that you have promised eternal healing in the resurrection of the body on the last day. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, from the dust of death, through the waters of baptism, you take from the side of Christ crucified a bride without spot or wrinkle. Let us find comfort and peace in him. Let us join the whole body of Christ in the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, where the wine of joy and gladness never runs dry. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Receive our praise this day also for St. Peter and his confession that Jesus is the Christ and your Son. We rejoice that your Son builds his holy church upon this rock and that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Keep us in this faith all our days. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord be with you.
That we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you. and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shed for you.
The Lord bless and keep you in your memorable vows all the days of your life. Amen. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ
the very body of Christ given for you. Jeffrey, the Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. The very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.